City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Mitchell Fain.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Miller Lite. Triple Hops Brewed Miller Lite. Taste greatness.
Everybody loves the hooky lau, but the lau lau is the cow cow at the luau. We throw our nets out into the sea, and only a mama comes swimming to me. Oh, we're going to a hooky lau.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 412. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Mitchell Fain.
And we are here on the couch recording the last face-to-face. Well, no, we shouldn't say face-to-face. Maybe we'll Skype to Skype.
Maybe we could Skype, yeah.
But oxygen to oxygen.
Yes.
Podcasts for a little while because you are heading to Hawaii.
I am. I'm going to Hawaii with Second City on a cruise ship, the Pride of America.
Have you ever been to Hawaii?
I have. In 1992,
ooh,
I basically spent
a good
the
year.
Month. Yeah, it was a good year. It was the year I moved here. I spent the month of February on the Big Island, on the Hilo side.
How are you there for a month?
I went camping with my, BF
God.
At the time, who was older and brilliant, and he owned land there. And so he had a motorcycle and access to a lot of weed. And we,
excuse me?
Yes.
Excuse me?
Excuse me? Yeah, I smoke a lot of pot. Especially in Hawaii. I won't be doing that for the next 4 months because I'm working for a company that drug tests you. So I won't be doing that. Haven't done that for a while. But I love it.
Yes.
Sue me if you don't like it.
Yep. Legalize it if you don't
legalize
like it.
Legalize it if you don't like it because I'm doing it anyway. Me and everybody else in this fucking country. Anyway, I'm going to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I was there for basically for the month of February, 3 weeks in February. And it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
February was actually the rainy season, which basically means it's gorgeous every single day.
Right.
And then once... every like 4 or 5 days it rains for about 10 minutes and it's gorgeous and 85 degrees and then everything is lush and green and
it's the rainforest.
Oh,
kind
it is
of
it's tropical
lush,
rainforest,
right?
So I'm looking forward to it. We
is it called the Big Island? Is that what it's called, or that's what people refer to it as?
Hawaii, the island of Hawaii is called the Big Island. The state is called Hawaii, and that is all of the islands. Where Honolulu is Oahu.
Uh-huh.
So the capital of the state of Hawaii is on Oahu, which is a sort of major touristy. That's where Waikiki Beach is and stuff like that.
That's where the Brady's went.
Right. But the Big Island, the island of Hawaii, is the biggest island.
Yes.
It's about the size of Connecticut.
Okay.
And it's mostly the two mountains, right? It's Mauna Loa, and Mauna Kea. And it's two mountains. And here's an interesting fact. On the Big Island of Hawaii, there is every possible climate. Snow-covered mountains, there's desert conditions, there's temperate rainforests, tropical rainforests.
Crazy.
On that one island.
I didn't know that.
You can be up in the mountains where there's with snow-capped mountains and be looking down at the shore.
Where people are in bathing suits.
A tropical.
So are you going to be on every island around Hawaii?
Oahu, Kauai.
Which I heard
for
is
two
beautiful.
Days. Yes, so we have overnights. So we get to go get there and then stay. We don't have to get stay. Then we go 2 hours to Maui, stay, and then we do a day in Hilo, and then we go to day on the other side, which is Kona. That's the Big Island, and then we go back to Honolulu.
Wow, 4 months.
Yeah.
And what's the theme kind of your show?
Oh, it's a Second City best of review, right? We do archival material. A lot of it's very. You know, cruise ship passengers in general are older and more conservative.
Yes.
So we tend to not do political stuff or sexual stuff. It's relationshipy. It's very like men are from Mars, you know, women from Venus sort of
And Mitchell
stuff.
Fain is from,
and then me. It's hard for them
it's
to
from
cast.
From Amy's house.
Yeah, it's hard for them to cast me too. I had a little bit of an issue with that just because like on my last ship we got to do like an adult show.
Yep.
And so I got to do Sassy Gay Friend, which I think a lot of people know from the internet.
Yes.
But those sketches originated at Second City. Mm-hmm. The first two anyway. Which I resent it being having to be in an adult show.
Yep.
But I get it. They're very conservative and I can either like take some sort of like political stance.
Right.
Or I could lose the audience. Or I could do it for the adult audience.
Right.
And get people on our side.
Right.
So anyway, so this show we only do the family-friendly show. So it's pretty conservative. I got some bits, some funny bits, mostly physical stuff.
Yep.
And then we improvise.
Wow,
that's
fun.
We also, Mick Napier also created a murder mystery.
Uh-huh.
An improvised murder mystery that we will do on the ship that's really funny. It's nothing like that dreaded beast, Sheer Madness, which stole my soul for 2 years. It's much funnier and looser and less serious about who actually is the murderer. It's just an excuse to be goofy for an afternoon. So that's what we do. And then the rest
now,
of the time
where's the gay? Are the gays on every island, do you think?
Oh, I'm sure...
Have you looked up what the GLBT whole beat's going to be from
I have, and also
Hawaii?
I have friends
Because we're obviously
going
to want to do a show with you Hawaii.
I'm on it. Actually, I have two friends who are on the ship right now, and they're the first gay couple to go out on one of these Second City.
Oh, cool.
As a couple. I mean, there's been a lot of gay people who've gone out, but they're the first ones who've gone out as a couple. Second City likes to send out couples. It saves them rooms, right? Because they don't
Yes,
like
of course.
Andy,
that's
and
why they should send me with you.
Exactly, we can go as a couple. I know, I was thinking about Megan too.
Yep,
Andy Eninger and John Luce, for anybody in Chicago who's familiar with the improv scene, they're two big players in the improv scene. Also two gorgeous, gorgeous men. Anyway, they've been on the ship for the past 4 months.
And so what's the 411?
Well, they're going to leave me.
Are they coming off and you're
They're coming
home?
Off. We switched. We were supposed to overlap, but then I got my, our plans got waylaid for a week. So we don't overlap. So I got a message from Andy saying, we're going to basically create a gay guide to Hawaii for you.
Oh, awesome.
Where to find the beaches and the boys and the booze and
yeah.
all of that. So I'm psyched. I have my gig. And I have a couple of friends who work on the ship in other capacities that I know through Norwegian Cruise Line who aren't Second City people. And they're gay guys and they're going to, you know, they're ready for me to come too.
Do you have like the DAR that like the gay DAR that as soon as you port somewhere, is that what you call it? Port, you land?
Yeah, we
you
port, yeah.
You port somewhere that then you, the port, that sounds really dirty. Once you port somewhere, do you kind of know where the gay is?
No, I'm not really good at that. But like I said, you can, it's easy to find out, you know, this.
But you find your pockets of what you're comfortable and drawn
to. Sure.
And really
also
quick.
You can go online and be like gay in Kona.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll tell you where to go, what's cool and what's safe. I know this...
It sounded like a comic book, actually.
I know there's a gay beach on Kauai that everybody's... No, or is it Maui? Anyway, it's called Little Beach, and everybody's saying, oh my God, you have to go. It's so beautiful and so relaxing. And
And is right now, as you're heading into summer, is it hotter? Or is
it's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot.
It's going to be hot, but I like hot.
Yeah, you do like hot. And you get brown.
Oh, yeah, I get brown. And I have not because I was in Alaska last year. So I missed the summer.
Oh, right.
I never got tan last summer.
Yep.
And I like to tan.
You do. You're going to be so savage when you come back.
Yes.
Let me tell you what. Well, we will miss you, but we will be looking forward to some interviews with you from Hawaii. And that's the good news about Hawaii is that we can still Skype from
there. Yeah, because it's America, so I never lose my phone service.
That's exactly right. So that's brilliant. Maybe you'll see the president. Maybe the president will have
Who
on,
knows?
On your ship. That would be super, super
Looking
fun.
For his birth certificate.
Exactly. And since Mitchell, what's coming up for him is Hawaii, I want to talk about some just two things that are coming up. Of interest to me and to people in the community. I became an Uber fan of this last year. I'm on the, let me tell you, I was a fan, but somehow I became an Uber fan last year. And I'm talking about the Chicago Force women's tackle football team. It is
Hot.
All tackle. They wear all the pads and the gear and the helmet. And
I know some of those ladies.
Oh, yeah. They are awesome. And last year, for those of you who know, on my little Oprah quest, I ended up going to Texas, and the Chicago Force were in the semifinals, and I went down and saw them play in Texas, which was so cool to, you know, go and see a local team all the way down there playing. Their first home game is this weekend, Well, no, it's not their first home game, but their home games just started this past weekend, and then now they've got other home games coming up. So just wanted to give you guys a little attention to the Force. They have their next game against St. Louis, the St. Louis Slam, that's going to be here. I'm just giving you the home games.
And where is
here? Here in Chicago. They play on Winamac at Winamac Stadium, right in Andersonville, just west of Ashland on Foster.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And east of Western. It's so accessible. It's really affordable. It's a great thing to take any age to. I love taking young girls. I took last year my friend's
Super
daughters.
Super empowered, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing. And then they always have a great after party at Tees, and you can go and not be with the kids. But it's fun, right, if you have nieces or nephews, you know, to go play. It's very funny to see little boys there because they'll refer to the women as men. Because they've never seen a woman,
right, and also
play.
They can't really tell. I mean, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, and even if women have long
costumes,
hair, they're so
them.
Used to, right, costumes. You're such a gay man.
I'm such a theater person.
You're such a theater person. But anyhow, you know, all the information is on their Chicago Force website. And playoffs, we'll see. But they've got home games on April 30th against St. Louis, May 7th against Kansas City, which is always a big game, and then May 14th against West Michigan. I don't know. I guess they play West Michigan before. Hold on. Mary Kay's calling.
Somebody's at the door.
But yeah, so come and see the Chicago Force, and we'll tell you what's going on with them game to game. And also, I want to let you know about what's going on in the theater scene. So I'll be back with Mitchell Fain after we do what's going on in the theater, and Richard Knight Jr. takes us to the movies.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and this is your Night at the Movies Minute. 2 years after making the rounds of film festivals, Undertow, the sensual, compelling, romantic 2009 Peruvian film, is finally getting a theatrical run. The movie, which marks the feature debut of outrider-director Javier Fuentes León, who also produced, is a lyrical, old-fashioned weepy that combines the supernatural aspects of Ghost, Truly Madly Deeply, and dozens of other similarly themed Hollywood dramas with the traditional wife-versus-mistress triangle. It's Backstreet with a gay update. Mistress is a man. The story takes place in a conservative seaside village in Peru. There, the incredibly hot, hot, hot Miguel, played by Christian Mercado, a fisherman who has an easygoing manner with his fellow workers and his neighbors, is eagerly waiting the imminent birth of his first child along with his lovely wife, Mariela, played Tatiana Astengo. But Miguel also has a secret, a male lover, the painter and photographer Santiago, played by Manolo Cardona, who he meets on the down low for leisurely lovemaking sessions, and who has, unbeknownst to him, made a series of nude paintings of him. When Santiago accidentally drowns, he haunts Miguel, not wanting to leave the love of his life and not able to rest until Miguel can come to terms with what it truly means to be a man. Fuentes León strips down the familiar template to its emotional core and adds interesting emotional curves throughout. Mariela, for instance, isn't the shrill, stereotypical, unsympathetic harpy. And the result, gorgeously filmed, assuredly paced, and acted by its fetching cast, is nothing less than a Peruvian variation on Brokeback Mountain. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that was your Night of the Movies Minute.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 11th, 2001, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. The Jeff Award recommended A Twist of Water is now playing at the Mercury Theater, 3745 North Southport. The story of a gay Chicago teacher who has lost his partner in a car accident earned 4 stars from the Chicago Tribune and is a Windy City Times Critics' Choice. Rahm Emanuel saw A Twist of Water and said it was great. For tickets, visit mercurytheaterchicago.com.
Don't miss the 2002 Tony Award-winning Best Play, The Goat, or Who is Sylvia? At Remy Bumpo Theater Company, Edward Albee's razor wit tears open taboos and tests the limits of forgiveness in this 90-minute ride. Get your tickets now for The Goat or Who is Sylvia at remybumpo.org.
Between the two evils, I always pick the one I never tried before. Boho Theater presents Dirty Blonde by Claudia Scheer, a hilarious tribute to the original diva of stage and screen, Mae West. Dirty Blonde is now playing at Theater Wit. Visit bohotheater.com for more information.
Victory Gardens Theater presents Tree, a new play about two siblings divided by race who must face their shared roots and stitch together their family history from the fragile memories of an old woman. Tree is playing now through May 1st. Visit victorygardens.org to purchase your tickets today.
Dixie Longgate left her children in an Alabama trailer park and took off Broadway by storm. Now join Dixie's good old-fashioned Tupperware party in Chicago, filled with outrageous tales, free giveaways, and the most fabulous Tupperware ever sold on a theater stage. NBC Today show claims it's not your grandmother's Tupperware party. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com, playing through May 15th at the Royal George Theater. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Katie Curtis, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast. Only
my eyes are the same. So we're back, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast with me and Mitchell sitting on the couch. And I was just telling you about the Chicago Force before Mary Kay came calling, and then I sent you guys to hear about theater and sent you to the movies. The other thing I want to just talk about that I feel really passionately about is the About Face Theater Walkaball. And it's really a great lead-in because here in a couple weeks, I'm doing a great interview that I'll be bringing to you all about GLBTQ teens and a new book that's coming out that's kind of a survival guide for teenage members of our community. And About Face Theater does so much with GLBTQ youth and has for over the years. And this is our major, major fundraiser. And this year, our theme is the royal wedding. Mm. And it's going to be on April 21st. It's the week before the real royal wedding. But we're really honoring the fact that civil unions are coming to Illinois June 1st. And it's all going to be at the School of the Art Institute Ballroom, which is a gorgeous facility right on Michigan Avenue, South Michigan Avenue. All happening Thursday, April 21st, and there'll be tons of food. Oh my God, amazing mac and cheese from Chalkboard, Garrett's popcorn, Talbot Teas will be serving tea as well as martinis. A full bar provided by Sidetrack.
Those boys like their cocktails.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be gorgeous. Like open bar, tons of food, entertainment, a huge live auction and silent auction. So I hope that you all will come. You can get your information at aboutfacetheater.com. I am co-chairing this year with three fantastic gay men, Ben Sprunger, Dan Otto, and John Barry, and myself. And so this year it feels very personal because I've been really working on it quite hard, and hope that everybody can come on out and support. A portion of your ticket is tax deductible, but I promise you, you'll have a really fun, artsy, cool night. It's not one of those sit-down dinner stuffy benefit nights. It's a big ass queer party, and dress fabulously and artistically. And are you excited about the royal wedding? I mean, is this something that you?
I am.
Do you remember watching Princess Di getting married? Yeah.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah, me too. I have a scrapbook. Early. I have a scrapbook that I made on her.
So in it, I was so in it. I mean, I was one of those people who cried for a week when she died.
Oh yeah.
You know, I went downtown to the British consulate and put flowers and I mean, I lost my mind.
Yeah. So that her son is getting married.
Those two beautiful boys that she raised so well. And right. Come on, it's just, I'm into it. I'm such an Anglophile. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm obsessed with the royal family from Edward the First. I'm just insane.
Right.
I could go, Richard the Lionhearted. I'm obsessed with the whole thing. So yeah, I'm in it.
Who was Anthony Hopkins.
Exactly. Sorry, right. Keep going. I'm in it.
In it. So are you going to, I guess you're going to try to watch from the boat, or what's going to happen?
I'm hoping that they show it on the boat. I mean, television on the boat is very hard, and sometimes they get live hookups, but mostly for sports events.
Ah, yeah.
But this is such a worldwide event. I mean.
This is an event. I mean,
this was a European ship, obviously, but this is an American ship, so we'll see.
What do you think of Kate? Are you?
Oh, she's fabulous.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. You know, they've been together so long. I think it's a real relationship. Yeah. Diana knew Charles for 6 months.
Yeah.
These two have been living together for 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, they're grown-ups.
Yeah.
Diana was a baby.
Yeah. How old is he?
I don't know. 30? He's got to be 30, right? He's, yeah. He's late, or late 20s.
Yep.
I think she's delightful. Yeah. I think she's delightful. She seems like a real girl. She seems to have kept her composure. And
I'm totally into it.
I'm hoping that I get to watch it on the ship. What I'm really bummed about, though, is because I leave on the 9th, I'm going to miss the season, the wind up of the season, the season's RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, so going from one queen and,
thank you.
And the royals and the royals nice. To another.
It was a total accident. Accidental segue.
I have to say that I haven't watched a ton of RuPaul's Drag Race. My brother is obsessed with it, and most straight women I know are obsessed with it.
Let me tell you something.
And I have not watched it that much. But
as a person who doesn't really watch that much reality TV.
And I love drag, so why don't I watch it? I guess I'm missing it.
I'm gonna go up boldly on a limb and say it's the best show on TV right now.
Okay.
Certainly the best reality show on TV.
Yep.
Because it's a little bit America's Next Top Model.
Yep.
It's a little bit Project Runway.
Right.
It's a little bit like the Real World. Right. Right? You know, or like
America's Got Talent.
Right, that sort of thing. And a drag show.
Right.
So they have competitions. They have to make their own costumes. There's judges, you know, but they actually have to bring it. The thing about this show that makes it special
yes.
is that RuPaul
yes.
gets that there's a wink going on.
Yes.
He's not making fun of you. He's very serious about it, but he's so funny.
Yeah.
And there's a sense that he knows that the whole thing's ridiculous.
Yes.
Right? And so it never takes itself that seriously, which then allows the drag queens to take themselves
very seriously.
So seriously.
Yeah.
And it's genius. This past week, if it doesn't get the Emmy for Best Reality Show, which it won't, of course, because, you know, we still live in that world, it's a shame. Anybody who's seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. This week, their challenge, there's five queens left. Let's see, Manila, Raja, Yara Sofia. Who's the other one? Carmen Carrera came back. And, Shangela's gone. So anyway.
Is it the best of?
It's winding down the season.
This is a new batch of gals, though.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And so it's winding down. So their challenge this week. Mm-hmm. Was I left out one of the queens. Anyway, the challenge was they had to take a straight jock dude mm-hmm. and turn them into their drag sister,
okay.
which involved getting them in drag, teach them how to walk in heels, work the runway, but also to have a similar so that there was like a sisterly uh-huh. quality to it. They had to do a chair, like a cheerleading cheer mm-hmm. about safe sex mm-hmm. with their drag sister. Now, these were like straight jock dudes, mm-hmm. like dudes. Who I don't know how they signed up for this or where they come from. There was one guy who said his brother is gay and is sort of uncomfortable with being gay or sort of angry about the world and how bad. And he's like, I thought if I did this, my brother would be proud of me. And
yeah,
you know,
oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, really sweet. I mean, but that's the thing about this episode where I think it should win the Emmy. It's super funny. There's nothing funnier than straight guys trying to walk in heels and like
right.
kind of pretending that they can't or actually really not being able to. And the drag queens just bitching them out, and it was. But all the gender politics of it
yes.
is so brilliant on so many levels. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a drag queen or a jock, boys are still competitive.
Yes.
Very, very competitive in a very boy way, right?
Yep.
So you're watching these drag queens like, they want to win this competition. So don't fuck this up for me because you're a big, goofy, straight boy.
Right.
Like, I need you to work hard.
Yeah.
I need to kill this. And then the jock boys, because boys...
want to win.
Want to win. And, you know... thank God for the Chicago Force and stuff like that. So it's changing. But boys are often raised with team things, team sports, in a way that sometimes girls are not.
Yep.
So there's that boy mentality of teams. And so, like, these two guys are on a team together. It doesn't matter that it's about drag. It's about, like, dude, we're so going to win, dude.
Yeah.
And so to watch that and then how much the drag queen and their jock challenge became friends and love each other and had each other. It was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so beautiful.
I think you had a little tear. I think you had a tear during the episode.
We did. There was one of them that was really honest about the fact that he actually found this drag queen really attractive,
mm-hmm.
right? And what a brave thing for like a straight boy to say on TV to be like, she's beautiful. Yeah. I really like her.
Yeah.
You know, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like if I were attracted to penises, you know what I mean? And then having these drag queens explain like, you know, we don't do drag for like sexual pleasure, you know, because I think a lot of people think that it's like,
mm-hmm.
like we're entertainers, you know, we love it. We love dressing. We love the whole thing, but it's not like we're having sex in drag with our boyfriends. Do you know what I mean? Like, and so that to explain that to these boys and just have these boys have their back. And it was beautiful. If you haven't seen it, go to logo.com because it's so Good.
Okay, I'm gonna TiVa that because they'll run it in repeat.
Yeah.
So
oh, definitely. It'll be on like four times this week.
I definitely got to catch that. So Emmy for RuPaul.
I'm telling you right now, RuPaul's Drag Race. The
he has like really spun out a career.
God over bless him.
Decades, hasn't he? Because I mean, you
he's
know,
he's still around, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
And the show is so funny and so. He just has such funny RuPaul-isms
yeah.
that anybody who watches the show knows.
Do you think that the world of drag has changed over the past 10, 20 years?
Yes.
I mean, and how are we seeing that? In
this is my experience recently. Because remember, I told you I went to that drag bar in Louisville.
Yep. Well, and I mean, obviously, when we both came out,
drag
years
used to
ago,
be, I think drag used to be when I was younger and being like a, I don't know, like I must have been like 12 or 13 or 14 and seeing David Bowie. Mm-hmm. On Saturday Night Live,
mm-hmm. early Ziggy Saturday Stardust, Live. Or even
not
before.
Even it was after that, and he came out in full Betty Davis drag,
mm-hmm.
and I remember being a little boy,
mm-hmm.
and being kind of turned on and totally frightened,
mm-hmm.
and it was so subversive and a little bit dangerous,
mm-hmm.
and he might kill you,
mm-hmm.
but he was also
well, he was playing Betty Davis,
but he was also beautiful. You know, I think drag used to be subversive,
mm-hmm.
and I think as much as RuPaul is awesome.
Yeah,
drag has sort of become Disney-fied. You know, when RuPaul has her own talk show.
Yeah,
back in the day. So two things have happened. RuPaul's Drag Race keeps the old school tradition of drag alive, where it's about illusion and about funny and about personality and about costume and about look and illusion.
Right.
Having seen drag recently at the very successful Connections,
mm-hmm.
where Lady Gaga showed up 2 weeks later
in Louisville, Kentucky.
In Louisville, Kentucky. Most of the drag queens there, fabulous. Not dissing them. With very few exceptions, A, didn't have funny, good drag names.
Yep.
Like back in the day, like a Head of Lettuce or, you know, Frida-Lay or...
I used to love Kelly Green.
That's Kelly Green. Eva Destruction or my drag name, Fran Giapani.
My dear friend, he was a hairdresser and his name was Henerence, which I love,
that's what I'm saying.
Right?
Now they just have girl names. It's like, you know, Stacey Lynn
Samantha
Matthews.
Johnson.
Right.
And drag queen Samantha Johnson.
Right, exactly. You know? So, and I found at Connections that most of the girls, gorgeous, basically looked like glorified strippers. Like they, like
there's a look.
It was like a strip show. It was
mm-hmm.
while lip syncing,
mm-hmm.
but it was mostly naked.
So are we losing the art of drag?
We're losing the comedy of drag.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're losing
the wink.
The wink, the camp, mm-hmm. right? Now it's become basically, and it's hot, don't get me wrong, like how hot a girl can you look like and how little clothing can you wear without revealing that you don't have a vagina for real?
Yeah.
On this last episode, one of the girls got really desperate, took off her pants, and she had literally like tucked in a way that her junk looked like a vagina. So she was naked.
You saw this on RuPaul?
Well, they blurted out, but her drag brother
saw it.
All the straight boys were like, "What is happening? Jesus Christ!" It was so funny because
oh
you have to watch
God.
RuPaul's Drag Race and you have to watch the Untucked afterwards.
Okay.
There's a half an hour like behind the scenes on
pun
every
intended.
Episode, all pun intended.
Right.
That's what I'm saying about that show. All pun intended.
Right,
right,
right.
So I think drag has become closer to like the Pussycat Dolls and less about Divine.
Yeah,
and I miss
Divine. It's become a little less queer.
I miss Divine. Yeah, it's queer for a new generation, you know. It's a different kind of queer. It's
and
their
yet
queer,
at the same
ours.
Time, there's so much more sexual and gender fluidity right now that it's very interesting that
it
this
is
going to a different
place. Want to hear the cutest story speaking of?
Yes.
Oh my God, speaking of that. Okay, so you know I have a gay brother.
Yes.
Who lives with my bisexual sister.
Yes.
And her 11-year-old son.
Yes.
Who, you know, as far as we know, is straight. And he was playing the game of life, you know that
mm-hmm.
game, Life?
I love Life. The little car
game,
and the little
right?
pink
Pegs,
and yellow and blue people.
So my nephew's 11.
Uh-huh.
And he's very much like a stereotypical boy. You know, it remains to be seen if he is gay or straight, although he's always shown an interest in girls even when he was little. But so presumably he's straight, presumably. Anyway, he was playing Life with my brother, and when it came time for my brother's to get a spouse, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
get
yeah.
married. My nephew, without even questioning it, just gave him a blue.
Uh-huh. Oh, how
brother.
Cute is that?
How cute is that?
Totally cute.
I mean, it's just like a different world.
Totally different world, right?
Yeah. Steven dates boys.
They only know what they know.
Uncle Steven dates boys.
It's what we teach them.
I think it's awesome.
They carefully taught.
Yeah, right? It's not even like anybody talks about my family. Like, nobody talks about, you know, I mean, like,
just what is. It's just the norm. Steven, it is
Uncle
your
Steven
norm.
Dates boys.
Exactly.
And mommy sometimes dates girls and mommy sometimes dates boys.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And grandma's a raging lunatic. That's the whole story.
And that's not you.
No.
Well, guys, speaking of television a little more, we're going to break and give you the news. And Kirk and I are going to tell you what's going on in the news this past week, what happened and what's to come. But I am so excited that the next time after this podcast you hear from me, I will be podcasting live from New York and with my friend Heather Schmucker. And Mitchell and I are going to talk a little bit about what I'm going to be doing in New York.
It's, first of all, I'm so glad Heather's going with you. That's like perfect.
Hilarious. It's perfect. It's hilarious. And Heather will have her podcast debut, I believe. I don't know if she's ever been on a podcast, so we'll see. But more with Mitchell when we get done with the news.
Want to learn to play tennis in no time? Chicago's Midtown Tennis Club has the country's only patented tennis teaching program to turn beginners into players in just 3 short weeks, with sessions beginning April 30th. During Tennis in No Time, students will learn the basics of the game, including the forehand, backhand, and serve in a fun group atmosphere. Best of all, Tennis in No Time is affordable, even in today's economic climate. Enrollment in TNT is $115 and includes a 3-week membership to Midtown Tennis Club, invitations to 2 social parties, and 9 hours of instruction from the country's best pros for only $115. That's less than $20 for each hour and a half lesson. Midtown Tennis Club is located in the heart of Chicago's Lincoln Park at 2020 West Fullerton Avenue. For more on Tennis in No Time, call 773-235-2300 or visit midtown.com/Chicago.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The White House has announced the nomination of Allison J. Nathan, an out lesbian, for the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of New York. Allison Nathan is a distinguished individual who has demonstrated an unwavering commitment to justice throughout her career, said President Obama.
Daniel Hernandez Jr., the openly gay student intern credited with saving the life of Representative Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona after the January 8th shooting attack in Tucson, will speak as a guest keynote and receive an honorary National Voice in Action Leadership Award at Camp Pride on July 19th through the 24th in Nashville, Tennessee. The award highlights the work of undergraduate college students who are creating positive change for LGBT and ally issues within their communities.
In California, San Francisco's iconic A Different Light bookstore is closing. The company was first established in 1979.
In Massachusetts, Governor Deval Patrick has named Barbara Lank to the state Supreme Court, making her the first openly gay individual in that role.
The Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination has ruled that a landlord must pay $25,000 for trying to force an HIV-positive tenant to move or get rid of his emotional support dog. The attorney for the tenant said that a doctor suggested the dog to help Blake battle depression. Blake got Kayla, a boxer mix, and his mood and health began to improve.
U.S. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida has been named as a new chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, with President Obama selecting her to lead the party's fundraising and organizational efforts heading into the 2012 election cycle. Wasserman Schultz, 44, supports marriage equality.
In Maryland, the state Senate's Rules Committee has allowed a transgender non-discrimination measure to advance. House Bill 235, the Gender Identity Anti-Discrimination Act, would prohibit discrimination against transgender individuals in the areas of employment, housing, and credit. HB 235 now heads to the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, where it is expected to pass.
The Arkansas Supreme Court has ruled that a law voters passed that limits foster care and adoption to married couples and single people, thereby excluding people who live together in a sexual relationship outside of marriage, is unconstitutional.
In Pennsylvania, 2 men were attacked at Swarthmore College in an apparent gay bashing. The attack happened on Mertz Field, where 2 men were being intimate. They were then punched and kicked by a group of high school-age students, including 1 girl.
In Delaware, John Buckhite of Delaware City is believed to be the first out gay mayor elected in his state. Buck Height is a registered independent and restaurant owner with his partner Dale Slaughter. Delaware City is a town of approximately 1,700 residents.
In his new biography, Malcolm X, A Life of Reinvention, African-American historian and social critic Manning Marable claims that Malcolm had a same-sex relationship with a white businessman. Malcolm's same-sex dalliances are not new, however. In the 1991 biography Malcolm, The Life of a Man Who Changed Black America, Bruce Perry wrote that in his 20s, Malcolm had sex with gay men for money and that he had a relationship with a transvestite named Willie Mae.
In Illinois, James Kappelman became only the second out gay individual in Chicago City Council when he defeated Molly Phelan 55-45% in a runoff election on April 5th to take over the 46th Ward. Tom Tunney, alderman of the 44th Ward, is the first openly gay individual in the council.
Also in Illinois, an appellate court has ruled that Walmart did not discriminate against an employee's religious freedoms when the company fired her for making anti-gay remarks to a coworker. In 2005, Tanisha Matthews told a lesbian coworker that God does not accept gays. The Joliet store dismissed Matthews for violating the company's anti-discrimination policy.
In Michigan, Jackson County and city officials have defended their choice to hire Crystal Dixon, a human resources director who was fired from her previous job in Ohio for writing an anti-gay column. Dixon wrote that gay rights are not civil rights because gays have the ability to choose their lifestyle.
Conservative pundit Glenn Beck is ending his show on the Fox News Channel later this year in the wake of plummeting ratings and an advertiser boycott. The show debuted in 2009 to huge ratings. However, Beck alienated viewers and advertisers with increasing controversial views.
In world news, in Germany, out-gay Foreign Minister Guido Westerwelle resigned his post as leader of the Free Democrats Party. The party selected Vietnamese-born health minister Philip Roessler to replace Westerwelle. Westerwelle also said he would step down as vice chancellor, but would remain foreign minister for the time being.
In the Czech Republic, archaeologists have discovered what they believe are the remains of a gay caveman. The male body, supposedly from 2900 to 2500 BC, was buried in a manner typically reserved for women in the Copper Age. Lead archaeologists on the discovery confirmed that, from history and ethnology, it is likely that he was a man with a different sexual orientation, homosexual or transsexual.
In Australia, widower Richard Cranbrook will receive most of his late wife's multi-million dollar estate after a legal battle in which his stepson claimed Cranbrook was gay. Cranbrook, now 69, married terminally ill neighbor Janet Helmrich in March 2009. The couple had a close relationship for the 3 years prior to the wedding. Helmrich's son contested the will, claiming that Cranbrook was gay and that Helmrich was not of sound mind. Justice Glenn Martin dismissed both claims.
In Ireland, 273 same-sex couples prepared to enter civil partnerships as a new law took effect April 5th. The civil partnerships law came into force in January, but there was a three-month waiting period.
In entertainment news, Betty White is producing a show on NBC that is basically punked for the senior set. Betty White's Off Their Rockers will look at seven seniors who play pranks on unsuspecting younger people.
The country version of Lady Gaga's hit Born This Way has become such a viral sensation that she has decided to officially issue the track for sale, with a portion of the proceeds to benefit the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. The country road version was recently recorded while on tour and features new Gaga vocals with guitar and harmonica.
Hugh Jackman will debut his new one-man show, Hugh Jackman in Performance, at San Francisco's Curran Theater, May 3rd through the 15th, as part of the SHN/Best of Broadway series. The former Oscar host has a solid Broadway background, winning a Tony and The Boy from Oz, and acting alongside Daniel Craig in A Steady Rain.
Sean Hayes, best known as Jack on the TV series Will and Grace, will portray Larry in the feature film version of The Three Stooges by Bobby and Peter Farrelly. Hayes will join Will Sasso, who will be Curly. The role of Mo has not yet been cast.
Mr. C, 44, a popular DJ on the New York City's Hot 97 station, was arrested and charged with public lewdness after being caught having sex in public with a 20-year-old male. Police said that the younger man was performing oral sex on C, who was an associate producer on Ready to Die, the debut album of the late rapper Notorious B.I.G.
NBC will premiere a fashion design show hosted by supermodel Elle Macpherson in 2012. The series, Fashion Star, will be an unscripted primetime show in which designers compete for a multi-million dollar contract to create a fashion line for top retail stores. The designers' creations will be available for viewers to purchase each week.
At the recent Academy of Country Music Awards, Jake Gyllenhaal was the brunt of a gay-themed joke delivered by singer Blake Shelton. Shelton and Reba McEntire were engaging in banter at the start of the show, but McEntire asked, in reference to Gyllenhaal and Taylor Swift dating and splitting, "She's beautiful, she's talented, she's sweet. What in the world was Jake Gyllenhaal thinking anyway?" Shelton responded, "Wait a minute, he was in Brokeback Mountain."
Out lesbian country singer Shelley Wright has officially become engaged to her girlfriend. The single white female singer is now engaged to LGBT rights activist Lauren Blitzer. They plan to marry in Connecticut August 20th.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at WindyCityQueercast.com.
Facebook. Many of you know that I did not enjoy Facebook at all, or I just...
I know, I nudged you.
For so long, everybody couldn't believe I was not on Facebook. Well, Facebook has such a great, wonderful, reciprocal give and take, and I heard that Helen Mirren, of course, if I hear anything about Helen Mirren, it usually...
I know, your nipples get hard, your clitoris gets erect.
I get so excited, it's true.
Sorry if Amy's dad is listening to this.
He doesn't care. But Helen Mirren, you know, when anything happens with Helen Mirren, I have a number of people who will let me know, either by Facebook, text, email, whatever. And Jackie, who is one of my Facebook friends, Facebooked me and said, "Hey, I just heard Helen Mirren is hosting Saturday Night Live." And I start kind of saying, "Oh my God, guys, Helen Mirren's hosting Saturday Night Live. That's going to be so great. Could I even think that I could possibly go and see this and see her host?" And then I remember that I live with Mitchell Fain, and we're talking, and I'm telling him about it.
And it's the 6 degrees of Mitchell Fain.
And it's 6 degrees of Mitchell Fain. And, you know, Mitchell runs with that whole comedy improv-y crew. And Mitchell Fain has hooked me up to go see Helen Mirren host Saturday Night Live.
So check it.
She will check it. So count she will it. Have already hosted by the time you all hear this. So the review will be out whether it was how that went, but I actually anticipate it's going to be great.
Based we know on it's going to be brilliant. Come on, she's
funny,
Helen Mirren.
Funny or die. Little videos. The newest one with Billy Crystal, hilarious. Grandpires and Michael O'Malley in it, and Mike Tyson, the two Mikes.
Yeah, so funny,
hilarious.
I know. I had to find out about that.
Oh my God! But anyhow, so Mitchell like hooks this whole thing up to where I am going to first time to see Saturday Night Live live.
I got to tell you, even if it weren't Helen Mirren, I'm so glad just because you've never had that experience.
Yeah. So tell me about the experience.
It's
what's
just
it
super
feel
fun. Like I've gone several times. I went.
Who have you seen?
Oh, God. Let's see. Lucy Lawless.
Yeah. Oh, you saw Lucy Lawless. That was great when she did the Stevie Nicks ordering the burrito.
Standing right there in front of her.
Brilliant.
That time was great because that was when Tina was a writer. She wasn't on the show yet. And so we got to hang with Tina on the floor, and which is wild because it moves fast.
Yeah,
yeah. On the floor.
Yep.
You'll see when you get there. I don't want to tell anything about it because it's a studio and there's 5 or 6 different stages. And like,
how many people are watching?
In the audience?
Yeah.
Just a couple hundred.
Yep.
It's
tiny.
It's tiny, but there's 4 or 5 different stages. So like sometimes it's happening right in front of you. Sometimes you got to watch on a monitor because it's the stage over here.
Yep.
Sometimes it's literally right underneath you.
Yep.
And it moves so fast. If you think there's
so many different
of commercials. They have a minute to change everything, change wigs, get costumes over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So part of that is the fun of it. So Lucy Lawless, I saw Antonio
Banderas.
And
she was really good.
So good.
Antonio Banderas was really good.
So Antonio Banderas, he was great. Mary J. Blige was a musical guest.
I think we had the Foo Fighters.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm blanking now. I mean, I must have seen the show 6 or 7 times. Because over the years, and then Dratchy was on, so then I would go see Dratchy.
What's the highlight of the whole experience, do you think? I mean, is it watching the behind the scenes in some ways?
You know what? It's, for me, it's the behind the scenes.
Uh-huh.
It's seeing how this iconic show is done.
Right.
Right, because it's very different from what you see on TV. So the backs, seeing how it runs is amazing. For me, the most exciting moment is always...
The opening monologue?
Yeah, that introduction.
Yeah.
That introduction, getting ready. You see everybody getting ready. You hear that famous voice. And then you...
That guy's been doing that forever. You hear that the famous whole time, voice, right?
And they introduce that person. They walk out those famous doors and onto that stage. And it's so iconic. It's like...
Right. It's America.
The only thing I can sort of like relate it to. It's like, you know, when you've seen... Like, everybody has seen the image of American Gothic, right? That famous painting with the fawn and his wife and the pitchfork. And then you go into the Art Institute and you round the corner and there it is.
Yep.
And it's this weird out-of-body moment. Or if you see a celebrity that you love so much, like first time I saw Dolly Parton.
Right.
And suddenly she was 5, because I was in front row, 5 feet away from
me.
Like, something so iconic is suddenly happening in front of you and it becomes this out-of-body thing, right? I think you're going to love it. It's so cool. And my friend Alex Bays, who's the head writer of the Weekend Update. That section is produced separately than the rest of the show, and he's the head writer. Seth Meyers is the head writer of the show, but Alex is the head writer of the Weekend Update.
Mm-hmm.
And
Seth Meyers does the Weekend Update.
Yes, exactly.
So the best
and
of the best.
And so Alex is the one who hooked you up with tickets.
Yes, thank
and
you, Alex.
And he's a total sweetheart. I mean, just ex-Chicago boy. That's, I met him back here in the day. Anyway, just...
They have such Chicago connections, so it's well, I mean,
just,
the whole show.
They just hired 2 actors and a writer from... Second City, like in the last year,
yeah,
like right now,
yeah.
Seth Meyers is from Chicago, went to Northwestern. I mean, it's just such a huge, huge Chicago tie-in, to Saturday Night Live, and I just think you're gonna have fun, and I'm so excited that it's happening.
Well, I'm so excited, and Heather's going with me. Heather's actually been in New York this whole week, and so she is going to be giving us her feelings on a lot of the big musical people are curious about. She has seen Spider-Man. And she will report if it's as good or as bad as people say. She will be reviewing but just kind of giving us her gal on the streets of the new Priscilla Queen of the Desert musical, which I'm sure everybody is so excited about being in the States. Finally, it's taken forever for it to get from Australia to Canada to here.
One of Megan's college friends is one of the leads.
Oh, really?
Nick Adams, yeah.
And also show everybody's talking about War Horse that actually I hope I get to see. We are not getting to see Book of Mormon, which is the hottest ticket in town.
You can't get a ticket.
We tried many different ways, but Book of Mormon is going to be going on. She's also seen Catch Me If You Can, Wonderland, starring Karen Mason, who's a Chicago home gal. So there's just a lot that she'll be able to talk about, on the show. Plus, we'll just talk a little New York beat.
Just New York. I think you guys, you should like just go sit somewhere in a wine bar. In New York and just blog it up.
We're gonna blog it up on the podcast. So it's all gonna be New York next time. And I just, obviously to be in a room with Helen Mirren, I'm going to be changed. I've been in a room with her once before. This will be the second time. I've been literally inches from her and I could barely speak. And for those of you who've listened to me for 12 years, that is never happened in my life. So
amazing. Yeah. I'm just so excited.
She's going to be so good because she's such a good actress.
Of course.
And she's also a good comedian.
She's funny.
So she's going to be
She's going to be fine. And they're all going to be on the top of their game because it's fucking Helen Mirren.
I hope they are. I hope they write her some good,
funny
shit.
I got to tell you what it's going to be.
They're not doing any Queen. She said she wouldn't do any of the Queen.
No, it's not going to be a Queen. I'll tell you what, this is my prediction because all those boys who write for that show are such horny little devils.
There's going to be cougar stuff, I hope.
It's going to be awkward. That's what I'm saying. Whenever they have a good looking boy, all these straight boys get all sort of queered out, right? Yep. And they like write all these sketches where they have some reason to have the host kiss other boys because they get all like, oh, he's so cute, like Paul Rudd. Helen Mirren's going to be all cougar.
I hope so.
Because all these boys are going to be like, oh, fuck, she's hot.
She is hot.
She's hot.
The theme of this podcast is Helen Mirren is hot. If I had a prize to give you, that would be the sentence you'd need to know to win your prize.
Right, that's the right.
Helen Mirren
B93, call up and say Helen Mirren is hot.
All right, everybody. Well, we are sending you off. Aloha. I think you say that when you say you greet and
yeah, it's, it means both. It's like, hello the, it's like goodbye, the Hawaiian right? Shalom.
Yeah. So aloha.
Thank you.
I will look forward to Skyping with you from the Big Island, Little Island, any island in between that you can Skype from.
Mahalo.
And I will be back in our next podcast to talk all about New York City.
New York.
It's going to be such a fabulous town. It's going to be a fun, fun, fun time. And I owe it all to you, Mitchell Fain.
I love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.